Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. Although the European Union has been in the biosimilars game longer than the United States, both are considered leaders in biosimilar use. Generics were the first copycat drugs. However, there are lessons to be learned from this experience. But biologics, which are made from living organisms, are not as simple to copy as generics are. There will be minute differences between biosimilars and originator biologics, and there will even be small differences between different batches of the same originator biologic. We now have reliable tests for determining whether these differences are clinically significant or not. But what does our experience so far with biosimilars and originators tell us about these differences? We sat down with Paul Cornes, a consultant oncologist and biosimilars expert who was part of the team that developed and presented evidence to the FDA for the first successfully approved U.S. biosimilar, Zarzio, a filgrastim product developed by Sandoz. Paul helped explain some of these issues. So first off, do you see anything instructive in the generic drug experience that might relate to what's happening with biosimilars?
And let's remember why. The Orange Book, the generic substitution story in America, it's the pharmacists that were the real heroes of the affordable care movement, because what they showed was that physicians were prescribing as they always were, but the ability of the pharmacist in America to look up the Orange Book and offer a cheaper brand was the big driver of change. So I can see why, if you're an American policymaker, you look to follow the successes of before, because I think we're seeing a lot of the same story again. I remember when generics came in, there was lots of worries, would they be as good? It took a long while to be certain what we meant by a bioequivalent generic. There were lots of restrictive laws in American states about substitution and gradually had to be worn away. And, you know, 30 years later, Britain and America, 85% plus generic use when there's one available. And I can see that if you're having a long-term view in America, you go, do you know, let's recreate the play formula that worked before.
Can you explain the significance of small differences between biosimilars and originators and whether we need to be concerned about this?
Scientifically, I can explain why switching is a problem. If I give drug brand A 1 month and a version B the next month, how could they stop each other working? Well, the only way is that if the first month, that drug raised anti-drug antibodies that neutralized the second drug. And so we can measure it. And, you know, that's part of the absolute requirements of a biosimilar approval is the head-to-head immunogenicity study. And we can discover anti-drug antibody titers at a thousandth the level that would ever cause a clinical issue. And therefore, in a way, we have a much tighter analytic scientific test in the head-to-head immunogenicity study than we would in the real-world data. And in Europe, we've got a very good paper on, you know, 10 years. There's no evidence that a biosimilar approved as equally immunogenetic by the biosimilar pathway turned out subsequently to have a different immunogenicity. And the only troubles we've ever had with new versions of established biologic drugs, the two we've got as examples, have both been originators. We had the formulation change of a apoetin alpha in Europe, which triggered off anti-drug antibodies and pure red cell aplasia. And then more recently, we had the Xavier Pito studies from the biosimilar trials that showed that originator trastuzumab had a product drift characteristic change that altered its antibody-dependent cellular cytotoxicity in a way that hadn't been anticipated by the originator, which, you know, led to all that furore about, you know, were the biosimilars in fact biobetters until we realized it was drift in the originator product. So it's interesting that so far it's 2-0 to the biosimilars in terms of demonstrating the similarity.
Well, Paul, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.